Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour, at least. And I guess I should say also good evening or good day to those down under in Australia, New Zealand, the folks in Sochi, Russia, all throughout Europe, South America. Even we've got listeners in Greece, Spain, some in England, Ireland, Scotland, Sweden, and in outer space on hundreds of planets. And we're excited to have those folks listening on blogtalkradio.com as well as Wind Talkers Radio. So nice to have everyone with us tonight. We've got some very important topics to talk about tonight. We're going to be very down to earth from the beginning of the show, but I guarantee you we're going to take you into outer space before we're done tonight. Tonight's guest is a regular on Friday nights. If you're just tuning in for the first time to Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com, I've been broadcasting this show on two different networks over the past 2 years. I've been with BBS for over a year and a half, and now we are heard on over, let's say, close to 200 stations here as around the world and off-planet as well. We've heard several accounts of that, so let's trust that we're hearing the truth. And today happens to be my 46th year anniversary of being an audio engineer. And I just noticed that date, and it also happens to be the date that I became a researcher. Now, on the West Coast, it's August the 14th. On the East Coast now, it's August the 15th, and in the Central Time Zones. And I began that work on August the 15th, so since I'm not broadcasting a show on Saturday, might as well celebrate now. Our guest is a scientist, inventor. He's an author, a lecturer, a teacher, and somewhat of a metaphysician. He's my co-host on Friday nights, and he's our resident science advisor. Can't think of any more accolades to give him at the moment other than he's my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. How are you?
I'm in rare form tonight. I've got a beef, and I've got some pork too. so I'm going to rant a little bit. But to answer the question, other than that, I'm fine.
Good. Good. I'm in rare form too, and I feel very similar to the way you feel about a number of things. So maybe we'll have a passionate exchange tonight.
Okay. Well, resident science advisor, if I may ask permission of the House to convey my message and use as much time as I may consume, as they say on C-SPAN 1 and 2, I'm going to consume a couple of moments here. I'm going to describe something about some vaccines, and this is first going to be prefaced with some technical information, and then I'm going to tell a heart-rending story. It's not a very long one, but it is a very important show, or I should say story, and the topic that we're going to discuss tonight is very important all the way around. Now, Jim and I know what that's going to be, but Jim hasn't heard this in the specificity that we're all going to hear it right now. Here's a definition taken off of the English version of Wikipedia.org. DTaP. DTaP is a combined vaccine against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, in which the pertussis component is acellular. This is in contrast to wholesale inactivated DTP, or aka DTWP. The acellular vaccine uses selected antigens of the pertussis pathogen to induce immunity because it uses fewer antigens than the wholesale vaccines. It is considered safer, but it is also more expensive. Most of the developed world has switched to DTP, but developing countries continue to use DTP. Both DTP and DTAP appear to be equally efficacious in generating immunity. The acellular vaccine is safer in that it causes substantially fewer side effects, estimated at 90% fewer, which commonly include local pain and redness and or fever. DTAP was introduced in the U.S. in 1991. Now, that's the definition of taken off of Wikipedia. This was sent to me, so I'm trusting that the person that sent that copied and pasted it into the email. I'm not at all claiming that I agree with what is said. I'm just reading the definition that was there. Now, this is another piece of information, and I'm going to be reading some excerpts of information that come from several sources that seem to describe other things here. The swine flu vaccine that is going to be tested have ingredients that have not been approved for use in the U.S., but the testing is in full gear. Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said that the first to be vaccinated should be your children. The list is now targeting the unborn with pregnant women. But it is a problem. The amount of death of children with regular flu doesn't make enough evidence. Now, I'm reading this as it is. I wouldn't necessarily word it as such, but they're saying there's not enough evidence to tell if swine flu will kill more children. This comes from a quote, "Cure the disease, kill the patient." Less than 100 children in the U.S. die each year from seasonal flu viruses. If we use Australia's math, a very rough estimate would be another 100 children could potentially die of swine flu in the United States in the coming year. If children are the first target group in the U.S. per Sebelius, that means we're about to inject around 75 million children with a fast-track vaccine containing novel adjuvants, including dangerous squalene, to prevent perhaps 100 deaths. I'm not overlooking the tragedy of the loss of even one child to an illness like the H1N1 flu virus, but there can be no argument that unnecessary mass injection of millions of children with a vaccine containing an adjuvant known to cause a host of debilitating autoimmune diseases is a reckless, dangerous plan. What people don't understand is that the flu vaccines also contain an arrangement of other fatal ingredients that can also kill children and adults. Flu vaccines can also contain a number of chemical toxins, including ethylene glycol, otherwise known as antifreeze, formaldehyde. That's the stuff that they use to preserve frogs in biology class. Phenol, carbolic acid, and even antibiotics like neomycin and streptomycin. Is the H1N1 vaccine any different? No, it is not. Take notice of this, people. Still quoting here. Novartis' proprietary squalene adjuvant for their H1N1 vaccine is MF59. Glaxo's is AS03. MF59 has yet to be approved by the FDA for use in any U.S. vaccine, despite its history of use in other countries. Per Dr. Nass, there are only 3 vaccines in existence using an approved squalene adjuvant. None of the 3 are approved for use in the U.S. So the big question, what vaccine of swine flu are we getting that have squalene or are, again, the English is a bit shaky here, getting that are squalene approved? None. The vaccine in trials have squalene. Here's what squalene does to rats. Oil-based vaccination adjuvants like squalene have been proven to generate concentrated, unremitting immune responses over long periods of time. A 2000 study, that's year 2000 study, published in the American Journal of Pathology demonstrated a single injection of the adjuvant squalene into rats triggered chronic immune-mediated joint-specific inflammation, also known as rheumatoid arthritis. What it does to humans? Gulf War veterans with Gulf War syndrome received anthrax vaccines which contain squalene. MF-59, the Novartis squalene adjuvant, was an unapproved ingredient in experimental anthrax vaccines and has since been linked to the devastating autoimmune diseases suffered by countless Gulf War vets. The Department of Defense made every attempt to deny that squalene was indeed an added contaminant in the anthrax vaccine administered to Persian Gulf War military personnel, deployed and non-deployed, as well as participants in the more recent anthrax vaccine immunization program. Okay, now, this is the message I got from the grandfather of a 12-year-old boy who went to his first day of football practice, where he was given a series of vaccines as a combined vaccine in order to play football. My grandson had a DPAT vaccine and also meningococcal and hepatitis A combined vaccine. My concern is that they have included the Novartis proprietary squalene adjuvant, which is in the H1N1 vaccine. This is not approved for anything else in the U.S. Please look at the highlighted areas in red below, which is what I've just read to you. Also, please read the definition of the DPAT vaccine in the attached link. This adjuvant is probably one of the causes of the Gulf War syndrome. It destroys your autoimmune system. Now, this 12-year-old young man who got this is the quarterback of the team, will not be allowed to play football this year after having gotten this vaccine. He within a four-hour period, developed a very high fever and became delirious. And after taking him to emergency medical personnel, he was deemed to have contracted mononucleosis from football practice. I don't think so. I don't think mononucleosis attacks within a four-hour period, as I recall. I think there's a little bit of a gestation period, and I don't think he kissed the coach, and I doubt if he kissed the water boy. Now, he had the shots on Friday of last week, and he still has a running temperature of about 102 degrees. This is just one case we've heard of here, folks. This is someone that can be identified. And you're not hearing about this in the media, are you? Jim, your thoughts on this?
Well, that just opens up this huge can of worms. I mean, first of all, there should be no surprise that we're not hearing about it on the media. I can mention a dozen things that I'm aware of right now that are going on that the media doesn't report at all. Secondly, I think, and of course it's yet to be proven so, but this case of this boy certainly seems to add weight to my feelings on the subject. I think that this so-called antiviral injection or vaccine is in fact a mechanism for spreading the disease or some other disease. I've reached a point right now where I wouldn't trust any of these people, regardless of what they tell you. I mean, stop and think about it. You know, we have had flu season every year for I don't know how long. And as your opening article suggested, you know, the people that are afflicted by this on an annual basis to the point where it takes their lives is a very, very small number. Why is it that all of a sudden we have to have, you know, this humongous national injection of all these unknown variants and additives? You know, for what purpose? Do you think that it's a coincidence that it coincides with a lot of the political nonsense which is being forced upon us in these times? I don't. I don't think there are any coincidences when it comes to this stuff. So, you know, you've gotten me rolling on a subject that I'm really feeling very negative about and pretty passionate about also. So that's my point of view, and there it is.
Yeah. And it's not to anger you that I'm telling you about this, but we should be angry. This is one child we're talking about, okay? What if this were a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old going into preschool or the Head Start program? And, boy, I could go off on school corruption and the embezzlement and the chicanery that's going on there, but I'm going to avoid it. And I'm privy to a lot of stuff there, too. People come to me with the information. Now, I don't even have to go on Google to find it. They come to me with it because they know that I'm not afraid to tell everybody what's going on. And eventually, people are going to wake up. You know, we've been talking about these things for a couple of years, and now they're coming down the pike. They're staring us right in the face. They're actually sticking the kids with the needles. And this boy also developed a very severe rash. I mean, you want to talk about safety here? He's now sick. And these vaccines are alleged to prevent illness. I mean, you know, let's look at the duplicity and the hypocrisy and the lies that are being told. You know, and this kid's not out of the woods, I can guarantee you. Having this problem for a week, having a compromised immune system, you know, all he has to do is get near a politician, and that could be the end of him.
Amen. So,
you know, I don't know how else to say it. This is just one example, and you alluded to this in your remark. You know, there are other things going on. This is one example of the insanity and the psychopathy that is so prevalent on this planet right now, and the apathy of those that are going to be affected by it. They're either becoming affected by it, or they're fearful of it, and you know, either because they buy into the propaganda and the mind control and the brainwashing. I guess when you're brainwashed, you really don't care, do you?
I don't know. I'm not brainwashed.
Well, I that's the only conclusion I can come to, that if you're totally brainwashed, you really don't care. It's just outside of your reality. People are just buying into every diversion they possibly can. Imagine that you're just sitting on a cloud, just on a cloud. If you could sit on a cloud and watch what goes on the surface of this planet right now, You'd have to come to some conclusion that this is pure insanity and pure evil. Now, I'm not leaving the good people out. I'm not leaving the light bearers, the truth tellers, and those people that spread love around the planet. That's not what I'm, that's not who I'm referring to. The government steals trillions of dollars and they have to steal more. Oh, no, it didn't work. You know, a little bit more, a few trillion more, maybe we could get the auto industry going. And we hear about the corruption there, that these dealers that have been doing this program now for a month and a half have yet to get paid. I mean, I heard that news a week ago. They've yet to get paid. They've given away cars that they're paying for because they're getting their quota. is financed and put on the floor in the showrooms and in the lots, they have to pay interest on that to the people that are loaning them the money. And that money is all being gambled away in the stock market, too, and stolen. Stop and think that the government has to take over an automotive manufacturer. They can't even get their laws straight. They can't even read the laws that they write or that they approve, that they vote on, and a big show, and the show was this debate, and we watch a pedophile leading the committee. They got a Secretary of State going to Kenya preaching to those people about corruption while she's there trying to rob a bank. You know, I mean, people don't see this, and we talk about this. And imagine you're sitting on the cloud watching this. Forget about being from another planet and being thousands of years more advanced than this moronic species that we have on this planet that we call humanity. You know, I don't know what else to call it, Jim. I really don't, because we don't seem to be able to learn our lessons, and evil has taken over every aspect, and what little good that's left here. You know, I've stated many times over the past couple of years on this show that it's as though these people are trying to be God, and they can't be the good side of God, so they've got to be the opposite. They've got to be the dichotomy of the Creator. And so they're every bit as evil as the Creator is good. And they seem to even be outdoing that end of the spectrum. You know, God is going to be on the upper end of the teeter-totter, saying, hey, you know, when can I come down? It's pure insanity. That's a bit of a rant, but, you know, I spent part of today thinking about all this insanity. It's just everywhere, and you still got people arguing over Hawaii and Kenya. Is he from there, and is this birth certificate real? And I've written the articles, and I've analyzed the photos, and I showed people how corrupt it is. You know what they're doing now, Jim? They got people from UCal Irvine sending pictures to people in Canada and emailing them to Canadachi, backdating phony blog sites on the web to make it look like my Planet Balqui photos were somehow on a website. Some guy in Russia took a picture of Mount Fuji. You know, it's ridiculous. And I can trace the IP addresses down of these people and find out who's connected to who. The guy uses the name Pyotr Tabarek, who's supposed to be a Russian photographer. And he's actually a physics professor at UCal Irvine named Peter Tabarek. And he specializes in mathematics and physics. And, you know, it's the same group of people working for the military-industrial complex. They have to put their psyops people out on talk show hosts and get their agents, their mind-controlled agents, to spread the discord amongst the talk show hosts who are telling the truth about each other. This guy said this about you, and this one. And they're plagiarizing my work, and they're plagiarizing other people's work to try to discredit us because we're telling the truth. Think of the insanity. How long do they think they can get away from hiding the truth? You know, the truth is evident wherever you look in the universe. All you have to do is open your eyes and your ears. You don't even have to smell. You can see the truth, or you can hear it. And
I'm going to tell you one thing. Yeah, if they go ahead with this vaccination program, there's going to be a trail of dead kids all over the place, and it'll be an unfortunate but pretty loud wake-up call. And if that doesn't rattle people, then nothing's going to.
Well, there are kids getting sick.
I hate to say it that way, but that's really the truth.
Yeah. There are kids getting sick. I went to Pandemic Flu Online, and I was reading an article about some kids that got sick from the Tamiflu shots. Again, the same type of description. The kids got sick at night. They became delirious. I mean, can you imagine becoming so sick that you want to get out of your skin as a little child? How does it How does a child comprehend what's happening to him or her? And you've got these evil creatures mandating this, that this is the law, that people have to have this, or you're going to be fined $250,000 and you're going to be put in a rehabilitation, re-education compound, a FEMA concentration camp. It's disgusting.
That's why they get all the ads out now for guards on these new centers, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. And they only want high school graduates. You know, give them an AK-47 and a couple of hand grenades. Maybe even give them a vial and a needle so they can shoot somebody up with a vaccine to stop them dead in their tracks.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I saw that ad myself. I could hardly believe it, you know, that the National Guard is hiring high school graduates, as you say, to help them control the internment camps. Correct me if I'm wrong, Don, are these the same internment camps that don't exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are the ones that don't exist, okay? They've been telling us, they've been telling people through the mainstream media that this is horse pucky. Boy, would I like to use the right words, the right adjectives, and the right nouns, believe me. this is what they say they don't have. You know, they close down all these bases. Yeah, we have to close this down. We don't have the capital to operate these bases. Well, you know, is that the excuse for shipping all the soldiers overseas so they're not here to protect the country when they want to launch the UN and, you know, the foreign troops under the auspices of the UN on our soil? Give me a break. You know, give me a break. Show us a real picture. Show us a real birth certificate. I don't care if it's from the moon. Just show us something real. Show us something genuine. All these people can do is lie. You know, if you can tell, it's got my ire. Can you tell?
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm speaking for a lot of people out there that don't have a voice. So, you know, I'm not going to mince words. I just got a little chat message here. Quote, I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Galatians 4:16. The Apostle Paul said that. Of course, he's quoting Jesus, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's pretty obvious that when you rub somebody's nose in it, they don't like it. And that's exactly what's going on. It's okay for them to do whatever, but don't stand in their way. Don't call a spade a spade. Don't do any of those things. It might get their ire going, you know.
Yeah. I also got a chat message here just a second ago. Over 2 million new prison bed facilities. Now, I wonder if that's for the vaccine victims or what, you know.
Well, you can't tell me that they're not planning something. And the interesting thing about it is, you know, I don't know about all Americans, but I do know, because I rub shoulders with people pretty regularly, and this subject comes up a lot. And I can tell you this, there's a lot of Americans that know that something's up. The biggest problem that I see is they haven't really figured out yet who the actual enemy is and who to direct their aggressions towards. But I can tell you this much. Human nature hasn't changed in the last 10,000 years or so. And it's going to reach a point of saturation where they're not going to care. You know, they're going to direct their aggression toward whomever they feel deserves it. And that time is coming. It's coming fast.
Well, they're directing it towards everybody right now, as I see it. It's just whether people are aware of it or not is another issue, but they're directing it towards everyone. You get
a
vaccine.
The bad guys are, but I'm talking about the people that are out there taking it. You know, one of the reasons why they're not recoiling or reacting is because they haven't figured out who to direct their anger against. But you notice that last week again and early this week they had more demonstrations in Chicago, which incidentally the mass media did not convey to the general public. And you know, I have friends there that took video camera or video recordings and sent me the footage. And there's some pretty ferocious words being displayed on these signs that these people are carrying, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't get out there and take time off from work or be out of work, as the case may be, make up these signs and congregate by the thousands in the streets of one of our major cities when all is well, you know? The pressure is building.
Yeah. And it's only a matter of time till the lid blows off, too.
Well, that's my point.
And in a way, they're probably happy if they see that. But they can't absolutely predict the outcome. They can't. They can't do that. Because if they could, they could fix the finances, right? They could cure diseases, right? They could give people back their jobs and their homes, right? They could reinstitute a gold-backed currency, right? They could end wars, right? But no, psychopaths don't do that. Liars don't do that. The evil ones that like to call themselves illuminated. Boy, would I like to see them get illuminated when they burn in the fires of hell. That's illumination.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that there's going to be there's going to be a day of retribution, and it's not far off. The thing that's amazing about all this, Dawn, is you know there are really two major mindsets in the world, and even though they both fall under the category of human beings. Homo sapiens, if you want to be specific about it. The wiring of the brains is not the same. And this is a well-known fact. I mean, the tests have been done and statistics have been calculated for all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that you've got what we call the prospective mind, which is the type of person who has the ability to logically consider the facts at hand, construct a hypothesis or a conclusion about what he's analyzing, and then from that determination, make a projection into the future about what is going to happen if things continue as they are. So we have that group. Then we have this other group that actually can't do that. And the best way to describe their mental processes is to say that they make all of their judgment calls based on past judgments. And so when something worked in the past, they assume it's going to work again. When something didn't work in the past, they assume it's going to fail again. And the interesting thing is they know they have this problem, but they hide it by posturing themselves as being just as mentally worthy as the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now the interesting thing is they are called retrospectives. The other ones are called prospectives. The retrospective person is analogous to somebody who's driving down Fifth Avenue on a crowded, you know, business hour. And they're doing all their navigating by looking in the rearview mirror. You know, that's essentially how they go through life.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is, the reason I bring this up is because that category of person or persons basically constitutes two major groups that we have to contend with in life. And what are they? They are criminals, politicians, and sociopaths. So, it's amazing to me that even though this is pretty well known, that these are usually the types that rise to power and make all the decisions. But what they forget about is that because they can only look out the rearview mirror, sooner or later, the other group, when they've had enough of it, they'll just make short work of the first group. And this has only happened like 10,000 times, you know, in the course of recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's amazing to me that they don't get the message, but then I always forget, well, they can't get the message. They're retrospective.
Yeah, their only concern is their own self-survival and of their methods. That's it. That's all they know.
And at any cost, there's no morality involved.
Yes, yes. Now, that, you know, we don't need to devote too much attention to it because I think we got our point across. At least you got yours across to me, and I hope I got mine across to you. And if the audience is listening, they understand what we're talking about. Imagine now that you go a little bit further out in space, off the cloud, out of the atmosphere, away from this negative energy, this door energy, as Reich would have called it. And that doesn't mean there's no door energy out in space either, because they're everywhere, okay? We have a situation occurring here on Earth. It's this loop, this time loop, or this loop of events that just keep playing themselves out over and over again through the ages. And there are more intelligent beings out there that have thousands of years of head start on consciousness, if not millions of years. And of course their technology and their natural gifts are more in line with the creation, that they've been able to survive that long and in bodies, to live 400 or 500 years is not a big thing. Imagine the intelligence, the wisdom that those people have watching this. We're not even talking about the Creator. We're not talking about God. We're talking about people like us who have already been through this and gone past this. Imagine what they see and what they must think. Of course, most people these days are just concerned about how people think in respect to how they look or what they wear or what kind of house they live in or what kind of car they drive, their clothes, who cuts their hair, how much money they have in the bank, whether it's worth anything or not. It's all about being a status symbol. It's all part of the illusion. And we're forced in this three-dimensional experience to deal with those things. But we're always given a choice. We can take the higher path or we can take the lower path. There's really nothing in between. There's a lot of people fluctuating between the two extremes. But imagine what that would be like. Comment on that, Jim. What do you think it would be like to be from another planet watching what's going on here?
Well, I think that in order to answer that intelligently, we have to go back to a show that we did a number of months ago where we talked about various sensitivities that are associated with different levels of consciousness.
Yeah,
and one of the examples we used was the idea that plants respond in a very interesting way to different types of music. And I believe I mentioned the story about the guy with the greenhouse that put speakers among the plants, and then he played some of this acid rock, and over a period of just a few days, all the plants had moved away, you know, to the best of their ability from the speakers. And then he went and put on some beautiful classical music, and the opposite happened. The plants actually bowed back toward the source of the sound. So the reason I use that analogy is because we as a totality on the face of this earth are producing a net vibration which has a particular level to it, a particular frequency associated with it. And it permeates the whole planet, and it sends out a signal. And people with higher consciousness that can sense that, you know, are going to respond to it, just like those plants did. Now, you always hear people say, oh, well, if they were truly aliens from other worlds, then why don't they just come here and talk to us? And why don't they come here and exchange culture with us or show us something? Well, one of the things that people never consider is that this place has become such a sewer that maybe it's almost intolerable for some of these people to come here. Maybe it's just like those plants leaning away from the acid rock. You know, they can come as close as they dare in their spaceships and view us from afar, but why do they want to mingle with us?
You know. Yeah, maybe it's like that emergency stop that you have to make at that desert gas station that's sitting out in the middle of no man's land. And it's locked, you know, and you've got to go to the station manager or owner and ask him for the key to the place. And you open it up, and the toilet's overflowing, you know. And you go out and tell him, you know, I can't use that. And he said, what are you complaining about? I gave you the key. You know, it's kind of the same situation. And the angels are probably up there. You know, the archangels are tapping God on the shoulder. Don't you think it's time to flush it? You know, I think,
well,
I agree with you. We're at that stage.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I am a firm believer of the fact that even if no earthly or extraterrestrial forces decide to set things right, there's going to come a time when the forces of nature, the creator, God, call it what you will, is going to say, okay, enough already. And this planet, as docile as it appears, is capable of acts of violence that you have absolutely no way of comprehending. And I guarantee you, you talk about the UN secret charter, or how they want to get rid of 2 billion people off the face of the earth, or 4 billion people, whatever the number is. Well, I got news.
Closer to 6.2 billion would leave about 500 million people on the planet.
Okay, fine. But whatever the number is, all of the brainstorming that they do and the conniving that they've come up with will never succeed in the degree of efficiency that this planet is capable of doing all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've studied a great deal about this over a number of years now, and I really believe that there are mechanisms that are inherent in the operational characteristics of this planet that make it capable of clearing the decks. And if and when that happens, believe you me, things will be reset and quickly.
Yeah, and I can see the next phase, the next age of life on the planet, where dinosaurs discover jeeps and artillery buried in underground bases. You know?
Well, that would be an interesting turnaround, but nothing's impossible, you know. If this species decides that, through its own stupidity, that it's not deserving to continue, then I'm sure that the planet will oblige and wipe the face of the earth clean and give somebody else a chance.
Yes, exactly. Now, You got people arguing over birth certificates. You got people arguing still over whether or not we landed on the moon. And I've said even before they pulled off the stunt they did on the moon in 1969, that they were probably on Mars 7 years before that, at least. And the method through which they got there was quite a bit different than what they show us on TV from Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy or the Johnson Space Center. Interesting that those two guys, the assassinated president and one of the co-conspirators, both got bases named after them. You know, it's interesting the way they play their symbology games. It's so easy to see it, you know. One day I'm hoping to open up my refrigerator, and I don't usually buy milk, but I might just go out and buy milk for the sake of opening up the door and seeing a picture of a politician on the milk carton.
Yeah. Have you seen this guy? Well, the thing of it is, who would want him returned?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, they don't return, but I can tell you that there's a lot going on that we're not being told about, and the truth is going to come out. It has a way of coming out on its own, as I've often said, and you've said. It doesn't need man's meddling to exist. Through this grid that you were about to describe, you know, that basically causes everything in the universe to exist, those natural laws will take care of it on its own.
Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing about that, you know, Don, is when I was a lot younger and I get into a lot of this analysis stuff, and being gifted to some extent with an unusual way of looking at things, I made it my business to try and make sense out of certain things that I saw. And, you know, if you examine some of the larger planets in our solar system, the ones that are referred to as the gaseous giants, you know, like Saturn and Jupiter, and even Uranus is a pretty big planet, too. The one thing that's interesting is you see that they are structured in such a way that they have these bands of color.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that is that according to this theory of the vortex that causes the formation of these planets and takes its energy from the spatial grids, the fact that the vortex is shaped like a tornado or a funnel or whatever design you choose to compare it to is very interesting, because just like a tornado or a whirlwind has different velocities depending on which part of the funnel you examine. Like, we know that the farther up you go and the wider the funnel is, the revolutions per minute are slower. And then when you come down the spout all the way to ground level, that's where you have the majority of your turbulence and unbelievable speeds. And so if we liken those revolutions up the entire structure to frequencies, which we can do, then it stands to reason that when these vortexian forces are creating planets, the material that precipitates is actually going to have different atomic structures in accordance with these frequencies. And so there's actually a correlation as these planets form between the layers of mass that comprise the celestial bodies and the frequencies in the vortex. And so when you get a planet that's not completely formed yet, like the ones that are in the gaseous state, the vortexes cause a very pronounced separation of these frequencies and their corresponding material layers, which appear as the bands But now you take Earth and Mars, which have been long ago solidified, and have quite turbulent histories. And you can now ask yourself the question, well, you know, did these kind of bands of different materials and such actually exist on our planet at one time? And the thing that's interesting, the people that I was working with years ago who actually had the wherewithal from the standpoint of computer power as well as actual data to test these theories, actually started to plot the positions of known gold mines, gold fields, diamond fields, oil deposits, and all these other things around the location of the planet. And starting with the prime meridian and working clockwise, they began to join all the dots together. And even though they are long since shuffled away from their original perfect angular alignment, all of these various deposits can be connected together by a continuous line, which once was a symmetrical band with respect to the Earth's geographic pole. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the fact that what happens in the higher frequency realms of the vortex to create mineral deposits and various other effects in the physical aspect of the planet, that mechanism works both ways. And that is that the average frequency or the individual frequencies of the people and the other creatures that live here transmit out and affect the stability and the average frequency of the electromagnetic structure, if you will, that resides in the vortex, and then that feeds back into these lines of force in space. And it's that mechanism that allows a bidirectional coupling between the fabric of divinity and the very various aspects of creation that he monitors throughout the universe. And we have to be very cognizant of the fact, whether you believe it or not, that our thoughts, which are creatures in their own right, and the emotions associated with that, and the intent, which is the most important aspect, are all radiating and being picked up by these mechanisms and transmitted all over the place. And so, you know, it's one thing to assume that these so-called Illuminati can produce their atrocities in secret simply because they wipe out their tracks and what have you. But what they cannot do is they cannot wipe out the electromagnetic signature of the intentions that they have when they produce these effects on Earth. And mm-hmm. That radiates into space and into the surrounding mechanisms that I just described, just like as if it was a signal leaving a radio antenna. And it has an effect. It has an effect on anyone who's sensitive enough to tune into that. It alerts the mechanisms of creation itself as to what's happening. And conversely, it affects the frequency of the vortex, which also governs the stability of the planet. So, you know, if things get really bad and this planet decides it's time to reset the stage, flipping the Earth 90 degrees in a matter of a few minutes, or however long it would take to do that, would create such havoc on the face of this planet that even the twisted minds of the Illuminati could never imagine the kind of terror and destruction that the wrath of God is capable of creating.
Yeah. If I can comment on that in a sense and sort of present an arithmetic, basic arithmetic problem in multidimensional physics, that sounds like a contradiction, but I think you'll understand what I mean. And let's refer back to my gas station in the center of the desert example, the metaphor I used a while back. We have this rumor going around the planet, and it comes from, the disinformation sources, of course, that want to create fear and panic. And they allude to 2012, that this planet, this rogue planet that's moving throughout the universe is going to again swing by the Earth. It has eyeballs and ears, and it has a brain, and it's going to wreak havoc in our atmosphere, bringing 300-mile-an-hour winds that are going to literally flatten all the structures that mankind has created across the planet. Now, imagine that can happen with the 300-mile-an-hour wind, and yet at the same time the Earth is spinning 24/7 at 1,000 miles an hour. Why are we not flying off? Why isn't
The stability of the very mechanism we were just talking about. You know, as long as the relative velocity of the vortex and the tangential velocity of the planet itself are very closely aligned, you won't have any problems of this sort.
Yeah,
but
it's
just
like
being
on an airplane and running from the tail to the front of the plane, you're actually going a bit faster until you stop running.
Yeah.
You know.
And, but even those small, changes in your local velocity, don't produce enough drastic effect, with respect to the overall speed of the plane to cause any, discord.
Yeah,
but if the plane flies into a mountain, the sudden change in speed is very noticeable to the occupant.
Yeah,
and it's that same type of thing that we're talking about. If the velocity of the vortex suddenly shifts to a different angle, or a different frequency, a different speed, whether it's going faster or slower, the planet hasn't got any choice but to follow along. I mean, it's essentially acting like a chip of wood in a violent stream of water. It has to do with the water dictates. And that's the same thing that's happening here. This planet is following the dictates of the vortex that not only created it, but is currently sustaining it.
Yeah, well, I understand that, and I'm sort of asking that rhetorically and not admonishing you for giving us such a fine answer. I'm just making that point that if it can hold us down here or hold the weight of a bird feather down, to where it falls instead of, flying out into space, then certainly it could do the same thing to the wind, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, just so that you know, the speeds that have been estimated for the type of winds that were produced in association with the last planetary shift, or the orthorotation of the planetary axis, we're in excess of 1,500 miles an hour, and the massive amounts of animal debris and vegetation and everything else that were just literally scraped off the surface of the Earth and mashed together in these gigantic mounds of decay and death were caused in great part by these exact forces. And
they all landed in Washington. Isn't that a coincidence?
Well, the ones that landed in Washington were the lucky ones.
Yeah, I didn't mean to disrupt your chain of thought, your train of thought, your chain of thought, your train of thought. Yeah, I mean, you get the meaning of what I'm saying. We don't think these things through beyond, you know, the hysteria that's created by the initial statement. And it's funny when, you know, as you were describing those winds at 1500 miles an hour, right before you said it, I would have guesstimated it to have been that. But with the Earth spinning at 1000 miles an hour, wouldn't that be a total speed of 2500 miles an hour?
Well, I guess it would depend on where the wind was blowing with respect to the surface speed of the planet, you know.
But yeah, I got news in relation to the grid, I'm saying.
Yeah, probably. But once it gets over 100 miles an hour, I don't want to be anywhere around.
Yeah. Of course. Of course. So what the point I'm making here, there are all these laws that are going on, okay, that without man's ability to even comprehend what is happening, these laws are in effect and they're working on their own.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like the law of gravity. You know, if you step off the roof of a real tall building, it doesn't make any difference who you are. You know where you're going.
Unless you're Superman, of course.
Well, yeah, he's a slight exception. But there aren't too many of them. So, I mean, these laws operate not only independently of man, but you could take it a step further and they say they operate almost irregardless of man. I mean, they have no concern for man's presence. And that's the thing that's really remarkable. And it's also the strange part that people ignore that. You know, a good example would be I went to Italy not too long ago. I guess it was 5-6 years ago. And one of the places we visited was Mount Vesuvius. And everybody knows from the history of recorded times that Vesuvius has erupted on several occasions fairly recently. And so has Mount Etna in Sicily. And the interesting thing is that it took out Pompeii, it took out Herculaneum, which were fairly ancient resort areas. And even though everybody knows this, the astonishing thing is they rebuilt everything on the same slopes, the same volcano, you know, right between the cone of the mountain and the edge of the sea, so that they have no place to go if there's another eruption. So, I mean, people are oblivious to the very things that they shouldn't be oblivious to, and then they're always surprised when nature just treats them like they're insignificant. Well, the reason nature treats them that they're insignificant is because they are. All of us are. And we'd be far better off if we realized that. I think it would humble us and change our attitude. You know, but maybe the endless display of ego that human beings like to flaunt is perhaps a very well-disguised protection mechanism that helps us to hide the fact that at some level we realize just how helpless and insignificant we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really causes one to pity those that actually see themselves as the dichotomy of the Creator. It's really something to pity, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I can't comprehend it because I don't care who you are. Pick the most inane and unimportant little thing that you can imagine, whether it's a microbe or a particle of dust or, you know, some germ or something, go ahead and try to make one. You know, no matter what you investigate, no matter how insignificant it seems, it opens up into a vast universe of knowledge that's necessary to explain its existence. And so no matter how insignificant the thing is that you choose to examine, it requires an infinite mind to comprehend it completely. And if you even grasp that, it should be enough to put you in a pretty humble position. So, you know, in the long run, what your family name is, how long they've been around, how much money they've stolen, how many, you know, universities you've attended, how many letters you have to, after your name, really don't cut it in contrast to the complexity of the universe.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I hope there's someone in the mainstream media listening to this show, because they're still tripping over themselves with this Michael Jackson story. Can you imagine that? It's like a month and a half. They're still talking about Michael Jackson this and Michael Jackson that. And, of course, it wasn't but a couple of weeks ago, even right within days of his death, they were lambasting him for the pedophile charges that he was exonerated from. Because he had enough money, of course, to do that. It was just to make us conditioned to these extremes. And then after he gets off from being a pedophile, what do? They start passing pedophile protection legislation. No one sees the insanity in that. My goodness. And I guess they presume it doesn't really matter if God sees it or not. They're all powerful. They're all omniscient and omnipotent. And so it doesn't matter what God says. Jim, I tell you, the confrontation that's going to come down between heaven and hell is beyond anyone's wildest imagination, the amount of energy that's going to be brought down upon these creeps.
Well, I don't want to sound, you know, like someone that's heralding doomsday, but, you know, my honest feeling at this point is, let her rip. I am so sick of the whole business that I would just soon get it over with and have whoever survives, maybe they'll be smart enough to design a better world.
Yes. Well, that's a pretty good closing comment. We're kind of out of time tonight. Seth has to get his beauty sleep tonight. And we covered enough. I mean, if this doesn't spur one to think about what's going on in this planet in the context of eternity and in our present time, where we are, it is hopeless for mankind and even the illuminated ones, the ones that like to put themselves on a pedestal. Jim, I want to thank you. This is something I'm sure in the future you and I will pick up and run with again, like we did tonight. Do you have a closing comment you would like to make?
Well, the only real closing comment I would like to make is that, you know, even though things look hopeless, and right now I'm feeling that vibration, the interesting thing is that the powers that created this world are also standing by, and if enough people with enough purity of heart reach out to that essence of creation with the right intention, which is always a key, even though we don't know how it could be accomplished, the situation can still be turned around.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe, and I believe that firmly.
Yes, I agree with you, too. Well, Jim Murray, thank you for being on Evident Footprints. We're at the end of our allotted time tonight. You have, again, proven that you're a worthy guest, and you deserve the designation of our science advisor. I think the next time you and I talk about science, we're going to really keep it on a positive, creative solution oriented note, and I'm sure you would agree that that's the higher path to take.
Well, it's not only the higher path, it's the one that I gravitate towards, and it's actually easier to talk about. So, you know, even though we've done our best to deliver these messages, it's important that we bounce back to the higher octaves once in a while, you know?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, Jim, I wish you a great weekend. I look forward to your appearance next week on Evident Footprints. and you be safe and sound and take care.
All right, Don. Thank you.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest tonight, Jim Murray. Visit my website, DirectLightProductions.com, if you haven't done so. I notice there's still people reading Part A, 7A of The Three Stooges Go to Washington. You only get half the story when you just read Part A. I know people's time is limited. If you want to see the truth, contemplate something that I spent a lot of time researching, and the conclusions I came to seem to be panning out on their own. So I recommend going there. Also, there are some photographs of other places in the universe. And despite the disinformation agents and the professionals, and I use that word with a bit of hesitation and caution, the pictures of planet Balqui are real. They're genuine, and backdating a web page 2 years or 3 years does not make them anything like Barack Obama's pictures. Let's put it that way. I think it's absolutely ludicrous that professionals would waste their time trying to discredit the truth. It's a sin, but they're showing their true colors and who they really are. We'll have more on that the next time Tana Dachi's on the show. Join us next week. We've got a great lineup. Dr. H. Ruot will be back again on Evident Footprints. And I want to thank blogtalkradio.com and Wind Talkers Radio for carrying the show, whether live or in a rebroadcast as an archive. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night or a day filled with peace, love, and light. You folks in the darkness, have a good night.
Your problem?
Picking up transmission from Mars.
We love PBS Radio.